Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Three states renew abortion pill challenge against the FDA. We're going to be talking about this case on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
Well, Matt, as you remember, in June 2024, the U.S. Supreme Court sadly dismissed a case from a group of pro-life doctors against the FDA's abortion pill deregulation after the high court determined the doctors did not have legal standing. However, now we have a new lawsuit that I pray will get to the high court so they can deal with this deregulation issue with the FDA.
Yeah, standing has to do with whether or not you have a concrete injury that can be redressed and remedied by the case, the cause of action that you're bringing. And in that particular situation, the Supreme Court ruled that these doctors did not have a direct injury because they were not being required to dispense the abortion pill mifepristone. So they didn't have an injury. They had a complaint against it, but they weren't specifically and directly harmed.
And, you know, I commend them for standing up because they take an oath to do no harm. And so they see what's going on with these women and this abortion pill. So they were willing to do this.
So what we now have is Missouri, Kansas, and Idaho have filed a lawsuit in federal court that renews a legal challenge against the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, or the FDA, over relaxing safety regulations and illegally allowing widespread access to the dangerous abortion pill mifepristone.
And you see what they're doing. I mean, they're not putting on appropriate safety regulations in order to push these pills through.
Yeah, so the lawsuit contends that the FDA has statutory responsibility to protect the health, safety, and welfare of all Americans by putting common sense safeguards on high-risk drugs. The states note that the FDA's own warning label for abortion drugs say about 1 in 25 women taking the drugs will visit the emergency room. That's a high number.
Absolutely. You do have women that die from taking these pills because they go home by themselves without a doctor and sometimes bleed to death.
Yeah, and the states allege that the FDA has disregarded health and safety by removing mifepristone's safety standards, which has created conditions where women and girls can face severe and life-threatening complications due to easy access to the drugs through the mail and little to no medical oversight while taking them, conditions that bypass state pro-life protections and send women and girls to emergency rooms. And that last part, we'll spend a little bit of time on it because that's where I think that these states are in a different place with regards to standing. Because what you have here, for example, are states that have pro-life laws whereby you can't do any or you can't do most abortions in a brick-and-mortar facility, right? So their laws are banning abortion or significantly restricting abortion. So you can't set up shop in some kind of office and start doing abortions because the law says you can't. Well, if that's the law, and clearly that is in many of these states, then how can you send a drug into that state, across state lines, into a pro-life state with these laws that do exactly what you are not able to do in the actual physical facility?
Well, and that's what these drug cartels are doing. They're sending them through the mail. They're using generic names. And it's shown that probably 80 to 90% of abortions are now done with these abortion pills because they're sending them in through the mail, even in pro-life states that have these bans.
And we know that they're doing that intentionally.
Yes.
We actually have seen earlier this year, abortionists in New York specifically go on record during a media interview that they're actually targeting these pro-life states.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it intentionally. So from 2016 to 2021, the FDA deregulated mifepristone so it could be used through the 10th week of pregnancy rather than only through the 7th week, allowed healthcare providers who are not physicians to prescribe the drugs, relaxed adverse reporting requirements, and allowed the drug to be prescribed online through telehealth appointments and sent through the mail, defying the federal Comstock Act that prohibits sending abortion material drugs through the mail. The FDA made these changes despite the drug's questionable safety record. These states are now alleging that these actions not only violate the safety requirements of the Pediatric Research and Equity Act and the Federal Food and Drug and Cosmetic Act due to the potential harms for pregnant women and girls, as well as the Comstock Act, they also disregard state abortion laws and, quote, enable and encourage, close quote, people to do what state law expressly prohibits. According to the states, the FDA has lacked the legal authority to make these decisions and acted arbitrarily and capriciously, committed an abuse of discretion, and acted otherwise not in accordance with the law. The lawsuit goes on to address different things. The states are asking the U.S. district judge who presided over the original abortion pill case.
Great judge, by the way.
Yeah, he is, by the way. And he's the one who presided over the original one with the doctors. And they're asking him to impose a preliminary injunction that reinstates mifepristone's regulations that were in place prior to 2016. The lawsuit asked the judge to do some of the following. Number one, restore follow-up visits with a physician on days 3 and 14 after taking abortion drugs. Two, restore the maximum gestational age to 7 weeks from 10 weeks.
And it also asked it to the judge to restore the requirement that prescribers be physicians, which seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah, and then restore the requirement that physicians report all serious and non-fatal adverse events to the FDA.
And restore the in-person dispensing requirement.
Yeah, the lawsuit also gives the judge the option for a permanent injunction to render all of the FDA deregulation actions for mifepristone as unlawful.
You know, Matt, this all just seems like, yes, it's a no-brainer. But when you're dealing with the abortion industry and all the money that they're making and all the money they want to make even more, you have to do this kind of lawsuit.
Absolutely. It's a great lawsuit. The three states noted in the lawsuit, quote, the FDA's actions thus intrude on state governmental functions and hobble states' efforts to protect health and safety, close quote. Mm-hmm. Now, the interesting thing, the argument earlier on a case like this was from Idaho, and the person who argued it is a graduate of Liberty University School of Law. And that person graduated when I was dean of the law school at Liberty University. So we already have advocates that have graduated from Liberty University School of Law that have now appeared. He's the first one to have appeared as an oral advocate before the United States Supreme Court. He may well be on this case going forward, but it's a great decision to move forward with Missouri, Kansas, and Idaho in this particular case. And the judge is a great judge. Very solid writer and thinker.
Yeah, he even previously said in April 2023, he found that the FDA should not have approved mifepristone for public use in 2000 and voided its approval. So he's been fighting on the right side since 2023 in this case.
Yeah, he has. And in fact, he noted the agency approved the abortion pill under political pressure. Its safety studies were improperly conducted. And the FDA's regulatory decisions allowing them to be prescribed via telemedicine, sent by mail, and dispensed at retail pharmacies were unlawful. While the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals largely upheld his ruling, the Supreme Court vacated the injunction allowing all of the FDA's deregulation actions to stay in effect, but vacated it because of standing. So here's the key. If they can overcome the standing issue, then this judge has already ruled on the substance.
Right.
And that's the last hurdle. So it's not like he has to reinvent the wheel. He just has to now conclude that this new set of circumstances provide standing. And when the case was dismissed, I certainly would have hoped that the Supreme Court would have gotten to the bottom of it. But I understand the reason that the Supreme Court dismissed the doctors. Because standing is the fundamental principle that you must have to bring a case. You need to have a plaintiff who has a direct injury, not just a complaint, but a direct injury that is traceable to the actions of the defendant, and that what you are requesting can be redressed. And in this case, the doctors had a complaint, they had a problem, they had an objection, but they did not have a direct injury. But these states that have pro-life laws, they do have injuries.
Yeah, they would have people in their state with these abortion pills, right?
So they would
have standing.
And it is a violation of their state laws to put these pills into their states. And then who has to pay for the consequences? It's the states that are picking up the tab for these medical complications. So this is a great decision. We'll continue to keep an eye on it. We'll file an amicus brief when the time is right. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. The website again, lc.org.